And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is looking at things differently. Each of my guests is helping us look at things in a way we never considered before. My next guest pioneered the development of asset-based thinking approach to looking at problems and opportunities in life. She'll explain how to use asset-based thinking from her book, Change the Way You See Everything. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Kathy Kramer is a practicing psychologist, a sought-after corporate consultant and speaker. She's the founder of the Stress Center at St. Louis University, and she's the managing partner of the Kramer Institute, an internationally recognized coaching and consulting firm. She lives and works in St. Louis, Missouri, and joining us from steamy St. Louis. Hi, Kathy. How are you today?
Hi, Bill. Great to be with you.
Well, thank you for being with us, and I hope you're in the shade because I'm told it's 103 degrees in St. Louis today. Not nearly that hot here.
Well, good, and we are so happy that California is a beautiful and balmy place.
Yes, it is. You ought to come out and visit sometime. But let's get to your book, because I think that your book, Change the Way You See Everything, is probably one of the most beautifully printed books I have seen in a long time. But here we go. I mean, the economic news came out last Friday, Kathy, and it was not encouraging. The economy added 54,000 jobs, which sounds good on the surface, but that was against a plan of 150,000 jobs. Unemployment rose to 9.1%. GDP growth slowed down to 1.8%. The stock market has now fallen 5 weeks in a row, and gasoline prices remain high, although they're off their highs as high as they've been. In the midst of all of this bad economic news, Kathy, how can one use asset-based thinking to better deal with some of this news that we're encountering?
Well, when you think about assets, they are something that's worthwhile, something valuable, something strong, something that's possible in every situation, even an economic downturn. And there's no getting around it. When we have a shock wave like we did last week, and we saw all the various measures you've just mentioned, underperform and disappoint us, you can't call a dog a frog. I mean, this is a severe downward trend even that we're seeing. We don't know how long it will last. I haven't listened to one expert that feels they can predict. The volatility is extreme. Before the last 5 weeks, we had, record growth in the stock market in particular. So I like to think of three different bottom lines.
Okay.
The bottom line that is in the right direction, the results that we want. And there's another bottom line that's equally important. What experience are we having? And the third bottom line, which I think is particularly relevant here, is what are we learning? So you might think of results as falling off the cliff, but the experience that we're having during the downturn is much more under our own control. And certainly the learning bottom line is.
All right, like that.
Yeah, and oftentimes it feels like the booby prize, especially when we're, when we look at our 401k plummet or we're looking at being underwater in our mortgage. It is, in fact, pale in comparison to the pain that we feel in the results column. But the experience that we're having, what are we paying attention to? How do we create a life that has some upside, some joy in it while we're experiencing that pain? How do we create a family experience, a friendship experience, a work experience that, I'll say, compensates for the doldrums in the economy? And what in the world are we learning? How do we, as a society, but certainly as a human being, what is it that we're learning that can help us forge ahead?
All right. We're talking to Dr. Kathy Kramer. We're talking about asset-based thinking. So, Kathy, compare and contrast for me. How is asset-based thinking different from the way most people see the world?
Well, deficit-based thinking, which is in contrast to asset-based thinking, focuses on problems, on barriers, on weaknesses, on what's not working. And some of the interesting research on pessimists and optimists, you know, there are those of us who are by birth and DNA more prone to be pessimistic than we are optimistic. And we're finding that you don't want to take away a born pessimist's ability to worry, but you do want to create asset-based thinking. If you tend to worry, if you tend towards pessimism, you can still be an asset-based thinker by looking at how to turn this problem into the best problem you've ever had, or how, said another way, how to milk the problem for all it's worth. So you just don't go after a narrow fit. You look at what is it that this problem presents us with? What are the possibilities in the future that allow us to take the problem and work with it? So it's not just a narrow fit, but again, it's looking at the different array of opportunities that the problem would present. So for example, if you've lost your job, there is a possibility for career shifting that would never actually occur to us or even be anything we would seek if we were in full employment and secure. So many people that we work with have taken this economic downturn, this job loss kind of situation, and turned it into a way to find a career path, perhaps, that they never would have considered. So that would be an example of how to milk that problem for all it's worth.
All right. Well, let me just flip the tables on you a bit, if I can, Kathy, and let's talk about those people who are left behind after there's a layoff. Now, they're faced with doing this, they're faced with doing more work, the work that the others left behind plus their work. How can they turn that situation where they're feeling overwhelmed, overloaded in the job that they're in, how can they use asset-based thinking to sort of change their perception of the situation?
You know, when you have to pull out all the stops and work harder and work faster because of the whole issue of being downsized, people who you have counted on are not there anymore. There is a principle that we use in asset-based thinking called just enough. And it's really a neutral position with regard to how much time you have, how much energy you have, how much help you have. The deficit-based position is not enough, never enough, never ever enough, time, energy, people. If you make a slight shift, which asset-based thinking invites us to do, a slight shift can make a seismic difference. So if you shift into the just enough position, I have just enough time, I have just enough energy, I have just enough people in order to move ahead, and that just enough position helps you to keep moving and probably to reorient what you think is possible. Many people, I'll say, retain their high achievement drive, their need to be perfect, when in fact, time has diminished. Your own energy might be diminished or taxed. The number of people you have to support you has truly diminished. So when you're in the just enough position, you reset the Geiger counter that you have in order to keep moving and not so much lower your standards, but make them a little more realistic for each hour and each day and each week.
All right. We're talking to Dr. Kathy Kramer about her book, Change the Way You See Everything Through Asset-Based Thinking. Kathy, okay, you've sold me. I believe in what you're saying. So how can I become an asset-based thinker? And in particular, I wanted you to describe one of your other rules, the rule of three.
The rule of three is quite an interesting rule, and it's really to get at the heart, at the deepest level of your commitment to something. So if you are saying, this is what I want, and fill in the blank, whatever goal you might have in your personal life, in your family life, in your work life, this is what I want, the rule of three would have you ask, why is that important to you? And once you've answered it the first time, you ask yourself again, now, why is this so important to me? And you have another answer that is at a deeper level. And the third time, why else is this so important to me? And you will do one of two things. You will either deepen your commitment because you get to the heart of the matter, or you'll decide, you know, I don't really think this is all that important to me. And you might actually restate the goal or change it altogether. So the rule of three helps you really find the deeper motives and reasons and purposes that you have for any particular goal that you're pursuing.
All right, Kathy, I'm willing to play the game. Let's say I've got a listener out there in the audience says, I want to make $200,000 a year starting this year. Let's play the rule of three. How does that work?
So $200,000, let's play together, Billy.
Okay.
We'll just kind of brainstorm. Let's pretend that's your goal. I might then say it's really good to have a partner, but you could also do this with yourself. Why is $200,000 so important to you?
Well, it'd be, okay. Go on.
What might you say?
Well, on something like that, my answer would be, well, I mean, $200,000, not only would I be able to pay all the bills, but I would have money to set aside for investing, money to set aside for vacations, and for my kids' college education.
And why is it so important to you to pay all your bills and invest in your future?
Well, I want to pay the bills because I don't want to get kicked out of my house or, you know, not have food on the table. And to invest in the future, I want to make sure that my children have a good education. I want to make sure that on our vacation, my wife and I can take some time together. And I just want to have some money for retirement.
And when you think about why it's so important to you to have your kids well educated, to have time with your wife, and to provide for your retirement, why are those things so important to you?
Well, my children need the education so that they can then get ahead in the world and be functioning human beings and good members of society. The vacation I needed just to recharge my battery so I don't get burned out in what I'm doing. I need to take a break from whatever it is that I'm doing. And ultimately, I do want to retire at some point and have the money so that I don't outlive the money that I've saved, so that I don't get into an impoverished state very, very late in my life.
Well, and so as you answered that third level, how was that third level different than your first level?
The third level was much more of my looking into the future and anticipating how I didn't want to feel in the future. In other words, why I'm doing the things that I'm doing is to prevent those things that we just talked about.
Right. And I think as you were authentically there, thank you for being so authentic, responding to this, you automatically see that it's not just $200,000 this year to pay the bills and do what I'm supposed to do as a father and a husband, but it's really what you just said, the future depends upon you achieving a goal similar to this, if not right on the money, a little bit lower, a little bit higher, plus or minus $10,000, and you carry that with you as you go forward in planning. How do I do that? And you might very well have a primary job that creates a salary of $150,000. And because this is such a vital goal for you now and in the future, you wouldn't stop there. You would go forward and you would supplement and might even invite your wife into the equation and be sure that you can together pursue the $200,000 mark for today and for tomorrow.
All right. We're talking to the author, Kathy Kramer, Dr. Kathy Kramer. Her book, Change the Way You See Everything Through Asset-Based Thinking. Kathy, all right, that's very clear for me and for my listeners on an individual level, but how do you ratchet that up and apply asset-based thinking to a work group or to an entire company?
Well, I thought you were going to say country. And one of the things that I thought was very, very interesting when we entered the economic crisis of 2009 was that we had the Obama administration sort of chanting the phrase, you know, never waste a crisis. And that is a saying that we may have heard in other situations, certainly in a company, the companies that we spend time with who went through a tremendous downturn in 2009 decided that the crisis could lead to something we call transformative change, not just incremental positive change, but transformations in the way the company markets to customers, in the way they relate to their customers, in the way that they invent new products, in the way that they reduce costs. And in that survival mode, transformative change happens in three ways: crisis, chance, or choice. And a crisis is actually the easiest path to transformation because the rules of the game have changed. There's no choice in the matter. You're up against the wall. The only choice you have is, are you going to play or not play? Are you going to live or not live? Are you going to survive or not survive as a corporate entity? And when it's that clear, you get very creative. And so the idea here is the constraint of the crisis is exactly what people need to get out of their normal way of thinking and create all the new options and possibilities in a life,
why?
In a corporation, even in a nation.
All right. That makes sense. Kathy, June is the month for dads and grads. And so if you're looking at your book, Change the Way You See Everything, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book?
Oh, you're thinking that this might be a graduation gift?
Could conceivably.
Could be. Actually, when we first published the book, we felt and were told by many of the readers, this is a great book to prepare a graduate to move from high school to college.
Right.
And, you know, you need asset-based thinking when you're in transition. So I definitely would recommend that parents and kids read this together and talk about how asset-based thinking, the way you see yourself, the way you see other people, the way you see situations, can be a great tool for adjusting to college life.
And that's a great gift. It's a great idea. Kathy, if people want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about your book, they just like the sound of your voice, where would you direct them to go on the Internet to learn more?
Well, you know, we have two sites. One is Katherine Kramer, PhD, and so that is my personal site. And then we have the site for asset-based thinking, and that's assetbasedthinking.com. We also have a site for teens called ABT in Action. ABT is the acronym for asset-based thinking, ABT in Action. So there are actually three sites. We'd love to meet and greet any of your listeners on either of those.
Oh, that is great, Kathy. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy, for such a great program.
Thank you. And I'll be back with my next guest, Adam.